Good morning. We continue with our study of Nachyomi as we do every single day. Le'ilei Nishmas Avi Mirori, Harav Hillel ben Meir, Yechiel Mechel, Zichrono Lebracha, and the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker, Zichrono Lebracha. Today's a special day because we are going to pick up with Shmuel Bet, and we'll have the chance to transition from the rulership of Shaul HaMelech to David HaMelech. You know, it's interesting, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in his commentary, Emes Liakov on Nach, is quick to highlight the fact that divisions of Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet are clearly not of Jewish origin. That is to say, they seem to be built off the fact that the printers wanted to make more money. And so once a series of psukim reached over 1,000, they cut. And they said, this is the end of the Sefer, and that was the end of the process. Rav Yaakov tries to prove this by proving that at 1,000 psukim each, both Sefer Shmuel gets split and Sefer Malachim, as well as Sefer Divrei Hayamim. It did not matter if it was in the middle of a particular episode, as is going to be the case over here. And that is the origin, in his opinion, of this idea of Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet. It happens to be that we are in the transition to David's Melucha. We know that in Malachim Aleph, David's still very much alive, and yet thereafter, the split into Malachim Aleph and Bet also makes very little sense. However, if you count up the psukim, you'll see that it's all based on printer abilities. It's also why the Gemara in Bava Basra, which identifies who writes which sefer, does not identify Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet, as you might recall. So, Vayhi Acharei Mos Shaul, it was after Shaul died. Now, if you recall from the last series of psukim we've been involved with, there was a battle between the Plishtim and the Jews. Of course, the Plishtim came and overran the Jewish camp, killing Shaul and his children. In the meantime, David HaMelech was with Achish, the king of Gath, and he was living in a place called Ziklag, and the Amalekim had come ahead and ransacked Ziklag when David was at the front and on his way home, and he ran after the Amalekim to save his own camp, the 600 that were there. So after the storyline, David found out that Shaul was dead. V'shol Yoshev me'achosas Amalek, David shav me'achosas Amalek, David returned from the battle with Amalek. V'yishev David b'tziklag yamim shanayim, he sat there for 2 days. And so he was there taking things in, and it was on the third day. A person came from the camp, from Shaul, Ubigadov Kruim, his clothing was torn, Vadamal Rosho, and he had dirt on his head, and and it was when he came to David, he fell on the ground and he bowed. Now, there is a tremendous amount of material for us to uncover over here because Rashi throws a curveball. It is because Rashi mentions from the Psikta de Rav Kahana that this person who came was none other than the evil Doeg HaAdomi, who does not get a chelek in Olam Haba, who was responsible, we're going to see, potentially for killing his master, Shaul HaMelech. This will create very big problems because he is going to identify himself as an Amaleki, and how an Amalekite convert, and how an Amaleki convert can be a Rosh Sanhedrin, is a major concern, says, and so therefore Rashi has a hard time with the process. Some of the Mefarshim want to suggest, therefore, that it wasn't Doeg, but rather the son of Doeg, and we'll see that because David doesn't recognize him. But either way, the text continues to be difficult because who would marry Doeg and be able to have children with him when Doeg would be a ger from Amalek? How could it be that his children would be able to rise in rank so far? Vayomer lo David, emi zeh tavo. So David turns and says, where are you coming from? Vayomer elav mimachane Yisrael nimlatati. He says, I came from the camp of Yisrael. In other words, I was fighting the battle, right? And the truth is that he said that's what happened. Vayomer elav David, mehaya davar hagednali. He says, tell me what happened. Vayomer shanasa amin amilchama begam harbein nafal min ha'am vayamusu begam shol v'yahonasan b'no meisu. He says, people ran away, says the Rabag. And he was giving off the news gradually because he didn't want to shock David HaMelech too fast. The Abarbanel says, no, first the people ran away. While they were running away, the Plishtim ran after them, and many of the people died. And finally, Shaul and Yehonasan died. He didn't mention the other sons. They were not compared as much as Yehonasan. In fact, the ultimate to David was the death of Yehonasan. He says, how could you know? Were you an eyewitness? Or is this just hearsay? We have to figure it out. There are going to be shailos that have to be answered. So what's your involvement? He said, I happened to be on Har HaGilboa, not knowing that I would find anyone over there. Right? So when I see Shaul leaning on his spear after having been stabbed by falling on his own sword, he was weak, and he leaned on the spear for support, says the Radak, or says the Rabag, that when he impaled himself on his sword, it didn't penetrate the armor. So he leaned with all his might, and that's what he was really doing. And the chariot and the leaders of the cavalry, the companies, they all overtook him. So he turned around behind me and he saw me and he called to me. And I said, here I am. Since he knew that Shaul had killed many Amalekim, he didn't want to disclose. He said, I'm an Amaleki. He said he didn't want to identify. Right, he says, I want you to go ahead and stand on me and kill me. Right, ki achazani hashavatz, because a shudder has overtaken me. The Medrash HaGad explains because of the fact that I killed out no vira kohanim, of which we're told that they wear kesonesh tashbeitz. That's why I'm being punished as long as my life is within me. Quickly put me to death. It's better for you to put me to death than let everyone else. Because my soul is still here. And so I stood over him and I killed him. I knew that he wouldn't live after his fall. And I took the crown which was on his head, and it could be the literal crown, and the armlet which was on his arm, right? And so I brought them to you. So this could actually be an understanding that it was the special armlet and crown that were worn by a king, or more possibly it was his tefillin, right? Tofta de'al da'ari. Rashi says that maybe it was his tefillin. I took his tefillin. So David tore his clothes. We have a responsibility to tear clothing, right? Now, technically, you only have to tear the outer clothing. But David tore all his clothing because of the following. Why? They gave over hespedim. They cried. They fasted until night. Al shol, val yonasam beno, val am Hashem, val beis Yisrael ki naflu b'charev. They gave a hesped for all the different individuals, each one separately, for Shaul, for Yehonasan, for the am Hashem, and for the beis Yisrael, all of whom have fallen by the sword. Who is the Am Hashem over here? That will be today's discussion and the subject of today's Nachyomi, a deeper look. By the way, this phrase, Aves Yisrael ve'al Am Hashem ki naflu b'charev, is one of the rather strong kinos that we recite on Tisha B'Av to recognize that there is more than just one. It's a compounded level of mourning that's being discussed here. Vayomer David el Hanar HaMagid lo, Emi ze'ata. He says, where are you? Ben Ishgir Amalek Yanochi. He said, I am. Do you live in Amalek? Do you happen to be at the scene? Or maybe you live in Eretz Yisrael? He says, well, I'm a Ger Amaleki. David He said, how could you not been afraid to destroy the king? Right? You're a Ger, you're supposed to keep the Dine Torah. How were you not afraid to kill off Mashiach Hashem? And it could be maybe Shaul begged you to kill him, but you're not allowed to do so, right? Even with permission, you're not allowed to go ahead and injure somebody. So David called over one of the young men. He says, go ahead, kill him. And he killed him and he died. Vayomer, he loved David. Damcha roshecha kificha ana bechale mor anochi mosisi es Mashiach Hashem. He says, your blood should be on your head. Your mouth testified against you, saying, I killed Mashiach Hashem. In other words, the guilt of your death should be yours. There's no penalty for your death except to yourself. In other words, that's your responsibility. Now, if the Amaleki over here was Doeg, as the Pesukta suggests, then David said to him, Damcha Beroshecha, right? You killed a lot of blood when you destroyed the city of Nov. And so that's why it's your blood that's upon it's upon you. Now the commentaries over here go a little bit wild over here, trying to figure out how David was able to agree to what he said. First of all, Einad Mesa Matzmal Russia, you can't incriminate yourself. So suggests the Gemara in a number of places. And by the way, Hahuriga said Trefa Pater, if somebody's about to die, you don't get the death penalty. And also, you can't go ahead and give somebody a punishment in without a hasra, without a warning. And also, how could it be Shaul was fatally killed prior to the Amaleki? Which means that what? If that's the case, what gives David the right to go ahead and kill the Amaleki? So the Chazal tell us, David reminded himself that if somebody comes and converts, that should be the case, except for somebody who comes from the house of Amalek. And so he says, Damcha Beroshecha, that is to say, you said you are an Amaleki. And so therefore, we're not ready to accept those from Amalek as Gerim. And so therefore, you are subjected to the rules of Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. In regard to the rules of Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, you're allowed to testify against the close relative. And so therefore, the closest relative that you have is the person you incriminated yourself by saying you're an Amaleki. Therefore, you're going to carry your own iniquity and your own responsibility. And then David began to recite Ekina for Shaul and Yehonasan. In other words, David lamented the death of Shaul because of his midos and Yehonasan because of his friendship. He did not offer Ekina for the other sons, who he didn't really know had such tremendous virtue, nor were they his friends, says the Abarbanel. And also, he wanted to make it very clear, says the Alshech, that he wasn't happy about what happened over here. He says he wanted to teach the sons of Yehuda the bow. That is to say, a lot of this came about because they were not archers. If you remember the battle from two days ago, the archers really were the ones who overtook Yehuda. He nixuva al sefer hayashar. He says it's written in over sefer hayashar. What is he mentioning? In the book of Bereishis, which is the book of the just, right? It's called sefer hayashar. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were the yisharim, right? And so therefore, he says, where is it? We understand that Yehuda atayoducha achecha, right? You have a responsibility, Yehuda, to be able to go ahead. You have to go ahead and learn the battles and the tricks of war in order to lead the people in battle. But here he says, Hatzvi Yisrael, Alba Masecha Chalal Eich Naflu Giborim, O beauty of Israel, on your high places should a slain lie. Eich Naflu Giborim, how did the great ones die? Al Tagidu Begasu, Al Tavasu Bechutzos Ashkelon, Pentismachna Benos Plishtim, Pentalosna Benos Arilim. Let it not be said in Gas. Let it not be go ahead and announced in Ashkelon. Let the daughters of Plishtim dance, and the daughters of the Arilim might be too excited. I know that I killed more Plishtim than Shaul, but they were afraid of Shaul more than they were afraid of me, right? And so therefore, we don't want them to walk around, the daughters over here, too excited. Hare Bagabala Altal Valma Taralechem, who stay trumos. He says, the mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor should there be fields of major offerings. Kisham Nigal Magen Giborim Magen Shaul Beli Mashiach Bashemen. There the shield of the mighty was rejected. Shaul Shiel was not considered as Mashiach Hashem. He spoke as though cursing the mountains where they died. And he was basically saying, they suffered, the mountains over there. Midam chalolim mechelav giborim keshes yon asan lo nasoga chor v'cher sholo tashuv reikam. He says, from the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, Yonasan's bow didn't turn back, it didn't shoot off, and Shaul's sword didn't return empty, right? In other words, his bow didn't return out the first scattering of his arrows, and Shaul's shield never first took its toll on the enemies. We say Yisrael and Yehonasan, who were so beloved and they were so pleasant in their lifetime and in their death, they weren't separated. In other words, while they were alive, they loved and everyone loved them. And in their death, from that love for their memories, they're going to stay there forever with the people, says Mitzvah David. Minisharim kalu me'arayos gaveru. They were swifter than eagles and mightier than lions. And these descriptions in the Kina are part of the Avharachamim Tefillah that we say over the three major communities that were destroyed during the Crusades. Benos Yisrael al Shaul Bechena, daughters of Yisrael, cry for Shaul, Hamabishchem Shaniim Adonim, Hamala Adi Azav al Vusheichem. He used to dress you in crimson. He put golden ornaments on your clothing. You have to remember, Shaul HaMelech was a particularly... when their husbands would go off to war, the Medrash says, Shaul would take care of them and he would dress them in good things. And the jewelry only adorned a well-fed body. And so therefore, he was very particular to be on top of the situation to take care of you. And so you guys should cry. Ech naflu gibor besocha melchama, Yonasan, alba masecha chalam. How did the mighty fall in the midst of the battle? Yonasan, on your high places you were killed. In other words, he kept highlighting this idea. You were the big hero. How did you fall in this situation? Tzar li alech, achi Yonasan. No'amta li me'od, nafalascha, avascha li me'avas nashim. I'm distressed. You were pleasant. Your love was more wonderful to me than the love of women. What does that mean? In other words, I more than my wives, I had a special relationship. I had a better relationship than the love which I had with you. My love for my wives is beautiful, but my love for you is like a real deep friendship that really existed. The Radak quotes his father, it says, your love was more wonderful to me than the love which women have for their husbands and children, which, you know, is very, very strong. The Medrash adds that this refers to the love that the women had for them. My love for you is more wonderful than the love the women had for Shaul. The women had a tremendous amount of Akara Satov, but it was based on the fact that he took care of them. But my love for you, says the Malbim, it had no ulterior motives, and so therefore it was a very major deal to me. Ech naflu giborim v'yovdu klei milchama, how the mighty had fallen and the weapons of war perished. The mighty suffered such heavy losses. It's as if their weapons were lost and they were unarmed and helpless. In that situation, David concludes by contrasting the loss of Shaul with Yonasan with the other names, and he says, "Eich naflu giborim," and so therefore we see it was very, very rough. And the Jewish people had now lost a great leader. David has finished his hesped, and we'll see what he's going to do in order to get the people back. We'll discover that when we meet again tomorrow morning. Everyone, have a fantastic, amazing day.